Grab out your Bibles. So the title of this talk is Rejoice in Truth. So John chapter 14. Rejoice in Truth. Is Andrew okay? I'm not sure. John chapter 14. Go through a few of these. Rejoice in Truth. So these are Jesus' own words here. John chapter 14 and verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And that's a principle throughout the Bible, that God can determine whether someone loves him or not, are those that keep his commandments. So people can say that they love God but not follow his ways, then it's as simple as that. They don't love God. So the way that us as human beings show our love for God is that we keep his commandments and we follow his ways and his purpose in our life. And then it goes in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And that comforter we know is the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened. Jesus died, he rose again, and the Holy Spirit was poured out, so that then we were filled with God's Spirit, and that actually made it easier for us to follow his commandments, because we had this strength in us. One verse in the Bible I just really like is that when you're weak, then you're strong. So many times I've been weak, but somehow the Lord twists it around and makes us strong and helps us follow his ways. And in fact, one of the gifts was about, you know, you can't go wrong when you're going about witnessing and talking about the kingdom of God, because it's God's got it all in hand. No matter how weak you feel or how discouraged you feel, it's God that gets all the glory. And that's what Ali said in her testimony as well. We give God all the glory for the things that happen in our life, because on our own, we know that we're not much. So if you love me, you keep my commandments and you keep following my commandments. You don't give up. You keep doing his commandments and showing that you do love him. Over to 2 John. The book of 2 John, chapter 1. We're going to read the whole book, all 13 verses. So 2 John, it's just before 3 John. And verse 1. "So the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth." Okay, remember, rejoice in truth. "And not I only, but also they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." Okay, we carry it around with us. "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." So these are good things. You know, grace, unmerited favour, you know, we are God's own children. There's mercy there, great mercy, regardless of how we might slip up and do things that are wrong. There's great mercy and there's peace as well, this great feeling of peace, because God is our Father and he wants us to have a feeling of peace, regardless of the mess that goes around us. And then it goes, you know, on like about truth and love. These are good things. And verse 4, "I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth." Right? Rejoice in truth. So this writer, John, unto the elect lady and her children, he himself rejoices about her children continuing to walk in truth. As we have received a commandment from the Father, "If you love me, follow my commandments." Verse 5, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee," because it's the same old commandment, "but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. You know, continue to walk in it. That is love. Verse 7, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Okay, he's encouraging there not to lose it, not to lose the desire to follow God's commandments, not to lose that love, you know, but those things that we have wrought or are formed and seen in your life, but that we receive, so that we receive a full reward. That's the consequence of holding on. Verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So John here is just so rapt that this lady and her children are continuing to walk in spirit and truth. He's rejoicing. He's happy to see them following God's commandments and showing that they love God, you know, and also warning us, you know, that we not be not go to other doctrines and not to receive them, those doctrines in our house, you know, or make it a part of our life. And I mean, it does say simply there, neither bid him Godspeed or be not partaker of the evil deeds. But we follow God's ways, you know, and reject other doctrines, you know, because there are many people that come into this world who have different doctrines and, in fact, are called in here Antichrist, you know. So we make sure that we carry on following God's commandments. Over to 3 John and verse 2. 3 John and verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Okay, this wish of John talking to Gaius that he prospers and has a good life, you know. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. He rejoiced again in this person to see and to hear the good news that he was carrying on. And we, in the Revival Fellowship, we see so many people come in and out of the doors, so many people that get baptized, filled with the Spirit, they have this great joy and stop coming. So we can understand that John, you know, he hears word of these people that they're still walking on in spirit and in truth, and he rejoices. It's happy, it's great, it's wonderful. And we can understand that because there's so many that don't. And so let us rejoice when we hear of others continuing on despite the hardships, despite what goes in their life, despite the pressures. You know, we rejoice that people are still walking in spirit and in truth, these remnants that are still going on. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2, that people are still walking on. We're rejoicing in the truth that they're getting an understanding of peace and mercy and where they stand before the Lord. That's important, not what others think is right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. So just two simple verses here. You know, what is our hope? What is our joy and crown of rejoicing? What gives us the greatest amount of joy and makes us so happy? It's seeing others make it and stand in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. That's our great hope, our great joy, our great happiness is to see that. And so for us to encourage everyone else to plough on, to carry on, so that then we're at the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back. For ye are our glory and joy. You know, turns out we are the glory and joy of the Lord. We are jewels in his crown. We're the apple of his eye. He holds us in the palm of his hand. We are precious to him. So even to God, it's Paul writing these things here, and it was John writing them back there, but it's God's word. And so representing God and how he feels, God rejoices in truth and rejoices and has great joy in seeing us just carry on. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So Paul here is writing to the church at Corinthians, and he says there, we'll just go through it, and he goes, look, I am jealous over you. Paul is jealous over the church at Corinth. You know, again, he's taking the position of God. Like, God is jealous over us, our church, the Spirit-filled church. He's jealous over us. And it says here, for I have espoused you to one husband, and that is Jesus Christ, so that the church may be presented as a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ in that spiritual marriage. So he's espoused us to one husband, spiritually speaking. And then it goes on to verse 3. It says, God writes here that he fears. You know, he fears that over time, you know, yeah, that great joy of being filled with the Spirit. And over time, he fears that you may be beguiled as Eve was by the serpent. You know, and we know that story in Genesis, and we don't know how long Adam and Eve were wandering through the Garden of Eden. They could have been there for 100 years. But the account says that, yeah, that Eve was beguiled by the subtlety of the serpent. Very gently and quietly. So even that might have happened over a long period of time. You know, slowly picking away, saying little things over time. And then eventually Eve did the wrong, and Adam followed as well. So this here, elsewhere in the scriptures, it refers to Adam, in the man Adam, was in the flesh, and then the last Adam was Jesus Christ in the spirit. So the church is possibly then, therefore, like the last Eve, okay? Because if Jesus Christ is like Adam, the church is Christ's future wife, and so therefore the church is like Eve. And the Garden of Eden, you know, like we're filled with the Spirit, we're walking in the spiritual Garden of Eden as a church, a Spirit-filled church. And so God is encouraging us not to be beguiled, the church beguiled by the serpent with subtlety, you know, gentle things around us. We're in this world, but we're not of it. And so we're pounded with all sorts of different doctrines and ideas and ways. But the Lord's encouraging us to reject that and stay firm and understand our position before God. Now, this is a theory of mine, but I believe that Adam let Eve down, in that Adam didn't teach Eve where her position was before God. And so she didn't have a full understanding of it, because Adam looked at his own relationship with God, which was set well before Eve came along, and kind of didn't put the time in to teach Eve. Now, Jesus Christ cannot be blamed for that, because he died for us. He laid his life down that we may have a close relationship with our Father. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got the Bible to read and churn through and understand and be firm in our position before God, so that we are not like, as a Spirit-filled church, as the later Eve, that we're not beguiled by the serpents around us through their subtlety, through that time of wearing us down. You know, so let us stay strong and rejoice in truth. Remember how grateful we are. Have that great joy, like, wow, look at this. I can read the Bible and understand it. Wow, I'm around people that have the same desire as me to walk in spirit and in truth. How awesome is that? Let us rejoice and rejoice that others are still walking on. You know, that's wonderful. There's great joy there. I mean, God has great joy, so why shouldn't we, that we're surviving? And I've said this before, quite a while ago, I must admit, that, you know, it says in the scriptures that angels themselves want to behold what we're part of because they know it's great. It's an amazing thing that we're a part of. And in World War One, I remember I met a few veterans when I was younger, and I remember thinking, wow, these people survived the trenches. They survived. And that's how the host of heaven will be. When we're raised up, there'll be a great rejoicing because we survived. And I remember thinking, wow, they're one of them. They were in the trenches and they survived. Imagine the angels. Wow, you're one of them. You're in the trenches and you survived. What great rejoicing that is. You know, so we need to understand our position before God, that we are free, we are at peace, there is great mercy, and let us not be beguiled by other things as Eve was through the subtlety of the serpent. Galatians chapter 3. I quite like this scripture because it's like a crowbar across the forehead. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? So where's the joy in this writing? You know, this, oh, you foolish Galatians. Oh, I wish you'd obeyed the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Okay? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of God. So these were Spirit-filled people, the Galatians, baptized, Spirit-filled, walking in truth. And then over time, some people decided that they had to go back to the law, the things of the flesh, trusting in the things of the flesh, whatever that is. I mean, back it refers to the old law, but it could be anything else nowadays. And he's just saying here, look, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? No, it was by faith. The miracles that you've seen in your life, was it through the works of the law? No, it was the hearing of faith. And so we've seen wonderful things. We hear testimonies at all our meetings for a reason, to encourage us and remind us, and that we may rejoice in truth, that remind us of what God can do in our lives. And also, I read verse 6 and 7. It's about Abraham there. And Abraham believed God, and that was what was accounted to him for righteousness. And we now, today, we are of faith, and we are spiritually the children of Abraham. The promises to Abraham fall on us now as Spirit-filled Christians, if we just carry on and remember that it's not the works of the flesh that we receive the Spirit. It's not the works of the flesh that we have perfection. And it's not the works of flesh that will be raised up to meet him in the air. It's through faith and rejoicing in truth. Okay, and we are those children of Abraham. Last scripture, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 22, just to follow on from that bit. Galatians 4, verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid or a slave, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Okay, There was no faith in God there. Remember, if you read back or remember back, Sarah was Abraham's wife and she couldn't have children. And so out of desperation, it's Galatians chapter 4 and verse 22. So out of desperation, Sarah gave her slave woman to Abraham so that he could have a child. And Abraham went along with it. He was looking to the flesh. But it's a type that we can read that God has separated to include in his scriptures for us to understand our position before the Lord. So verse 23 again. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Okay, it was always Sarah that was going to be the one to have Abraham's child. Verse 24. Which things are an allegory or thus are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai, spiritually Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Okay? We were called and predestinated. We are the children of promise. And so as symbolically, we are as Isaac was. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Okay, even so it is now. As the serpent beguiled Eve, so the serpent today beguiles the church. Verse 30, Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So, I mean, it's pretty harsh what it says there in verse 30, but it's a symbol. You know, it's pretty harsh for God to say, cast them out, cast them away, you know, get them out away from you, Abraham. But you've got to remember this stuff is symbolic, and it's written there for us to read and to get encouragement from. And so we have been called by God. We are separate. We are holy people. And we've been predestinated, as I said before, spiritually speaking, we are like Isaac. And then that encouragement there in 5 verse 1, stand fast, you know, be solid, therefore, as a result of all this stuff, as a result of the position that we are before God, as a result of the great blessings that can come if we carry on rejoicing in truth, as others walk in truth as well, we rejoice in that. There is great joy to be had. As a result of that, stand fast. Remember that there is a separation, there's a difference, and it's so clear to us in the liberty. You know, stand fast in the freedom that we have and not be drawn back into bondage and follow the ways of Mount Sinai, the ways of the flesh or Hagar, which will be, as it says in verse 30, the children of Hagar will be cast out. Okay? That is Mount Sinai. It belongs in the desert. Things of the flesh. So Christ has made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay? So let's rejoice in truth where we stand. We're solid. We stand fast. We cannot move because we are with God. And that's just fantastic. Thank you.